Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello, everyone. This is Steve Aspel. Welcome to HealthyLife.net. You're on Aspel at the Esplanade today, and I might stutter a little bit. I have been off on vacation a little bit, and Jay's been filling in for me. And anyway, we're back, and it's good to be back. It's been a lot of fun. I've been doing the show for almost a year, I think, and it's been way fun. Anyway, I want to tell everybody in Redondo Beach, we had a great weekend this past weekend. The Riviera Festival attracted a lot of people, and all the businesses got overwhelmed, and they had a lot of bands and a lot of beer and a lot of buying, and it was really a lot of fun for everybody. And you know, the city of Redondo Beach supports our little fun times like that in a big way, and there's never a problem with any people down there. It's just a good weekend we had. So anyway, I'm back here, and in the past I have just tried to interview people that were human interest stories and just cool people in Redondo Beach for the most part, and no political affiliation or anything like that. But today I'm changing it up a little bit. It's a human interest story, one of the most cool people in Redondo Beach, and also a local politician, and he's a candidate for treasurer and one of the most effective councilmen we've ever had in this city, in my opinion. And since I'm the mayor, I guess my opinion counts now. But it's Steve Deal. So welcome, Steve. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's glad. I just met you two the other day. So come on down. I want to talk to you because we have a fairly important election coming up. I'll vote by mail, and you got to get people out to vote.
It's actually beyond coming up. It's already here. Some people have already received their ballots sent them back in.
It's most of them came out about 2 weeks ago.
Actually, as recent as last Thursday. So, no, not 2 weeks ago, but last week.
Okay. Because this is our first mail-in election for an elected person, I think.
For a contested election that's not the school board.
Right, okay. So tell me about you ran the first time, and we just spend a whole hour talking about whatever you want to talk about, because obviously I wouldn't have you on this show if I wasn't supporting you. And just because I know you and Elizabeth and Lukey, your son, you're quality people. So tell me, why did you decide to run for treasurer after 8 years on the council?
Well, I'm glad you let off with my wife and son, because I'm a taxpayer and resident of Redondo Beach, and have been, now for, 25 years or so. And I just see, as a taxpayer, that we're spending too much money on treasurer operations. So I'm also a business owner in town, and I can't operate a business without providing a service for the lowest cost possible, so we can provide a benefit to our customers at a competitive price.
Right.
And so that's the ethic I would bring to the treasurer's office, so that we can reduce costs on this basically bureaucratic position. Important nonetheless, but we're overspending. Something I was able to observe while I spent 8 years on the city council. The first 4 years on the council from 05 to 09 were fun because we had money to spend. And then going into 09, I mean, that's when the market crashed and we knew there was a problem. And it was challenging last 4 years. So we have to look under every stone and cherish every public dollar. And in the one office in the city that should be the most fiscally responsible, that's the city treasurer, ironically, I find that it's not the most fiscally responsible. And so to my fault, perhaps, I'm a fix-it guy. And just want to fix this thing. It's under my skin.
Well, I'll ask you, devil's advocate here, you watch all the social media, so to speak. Someone said, how come you didn't try and fix this while you were a councilman? Why I didn't try and fix it as a councilman? And I'm going, I don't know. It wasn't something we really had to think about. So what's your take on that?
Well, because you weren't a councilman at the time. You were in a runoff, just like I am right now.
No, no, wait, back 5-6 years ago when we were councilmen. Well, it wasn't really our call.
Well, no, we did address it. Mm-hmm. And you were in a runoff. In fact, you were in a runoff. And it was while Greg Hill was still on as mayor. And the current treasury salary is right now $116,000. That was reduced in 2005 when I was on the council from $130,000. That's unheard of in small cities like ours. So it did get addressed.
I remember voting on that. We voted on it right after I got elected.
Okay,
you brought it up before that.
Okay,
yeah.
So there you go. So we did address it. The challenge to really completing the reform, however, is that it was opposed by the then treasurer, Ernie O'Dell, who felt that was his salary and he deserved it and he wanted it, and he argued to keep it. And we just couldn't justify it based on comparing to other cities. And there had been this automatic accelerator that began in 1983, and the salary just kept climbing and climbing and climbing and climbing. And so we put a stop to it in 2005 and reduced the salary. So we did address it, but the challenge was completing the reform really couldn't be done without the objection of the incumbent. And so now that Ernie retired, basically quit in the middle of his term, which is a whole other story, that's why we're in a runoff today.
That's why we're up, I know.
Another $160,000 on this election. Again, not a fiscally responsible move. But now we can address it. Now is the opportunity. There are less than 2 years left in this term. By the time I take office, it'll be about a year and a half left. And so that should be the end of this bloated, ridiculous.
There's the answer.
Yes.
There's the answer to why it wasn't addressed then. We had a sitting treasurer.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we have an appointed treasurer. Tom Gann's done a hell of a job. He's a lot of fun at City Hall too. And you're going to come in there. The term is less than 2 years because of the runoff.
Well, okay, it's a 4-year term.
For the rest of your term.
Correct. So the completion of this term is about a year and a half. So Ernie announced his retirement upon the announcement of his deputy treasurer of his impending retirement. So Ernie's now out of the office, but thankfully Frank, the deputy treasurer, who really is doing quite a good job, is working with Tom Gann for the remainder of Tom's interim term, which will end when the new election commences and the new treasurer takes office. But you're right, it'll be about a year and a half left of that original 4-year term.
And then no matter who's the treasurer, you got to start over again right away on a campaign.
Yeah. Basically, you know, you're 6 months out, you're announcing and preparing and running. So in about a year's time, it starts all over again.
So in your idea then, once you assume the duties of treasurer, then you'd start working on getting a ballot initiative. Is that what it would take?
Well,
to get the treasurer reduced to part-time or...
Yes, a ballot measure, not an initiative.
A ballot measure, correct.
It would come from the treasurer's office and be approved by the city council and mayor, ideally, to go on the ballot. And if the mayor and council don't approve it, then it would have to be an initiative and go... through the signature gathering process. But I just can't imagine, with the evidence that I have gathered about what best practices really are in cities statewide. I served as the president of the League of California Cities for Los Angeles County. That's 88 cities.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know quite a bit about how cities operate, and they just don't do what we do. Small cities do not pay elected officials hundreds of thousands of dollars like we've been doing.
The city of Bell did, but they all went to jail.
The city of Bell did, and the difference between Bell and Redondo Beach is that our treasurer's salary is legal. It's really, I think it's frankly been an abuse of the charter process, and I think had I not been running, I don't know if this information would be out there, because it's been my campaign. You know, I've been singing from the rafters and giving people numbers and mailing graphs to people's homes and using social media to get this out there, that we are way, way out of balance. the chart I've been circulating just compares Hermosa and Manhattan Beach to Redondo Beach. By the way, just a quick aside, the treasurer's duties are to manage the treasury. Okay, that's our cash.
No, let me interject here. I'm going to ask you this not as a mayor, but just as a radio host. If you talk to 10 people, you get 10 different opinions as to why our charter says to have the elected treasurer, and yet most cities don't, and this high salary. How do you think that came to be way back when?
Well, the treasurer position has been elected, I think, since the beginning of the charter. That I'll have to check. The full-time status with the high salary actually began in 1983 when a measure was passed to affix a full-time salary and a requirement to the job of treasurer. So it's been 30 years. You know, it's 2013. That happened in 1983.
Mm-hmm.
And that's three decades of this. There might have been a time when it was justified, but it really isn't anymore. So what happened was in 1983, the charter was changed, and the treasurer went from part-time to full-time. And it had this requirement that it gets a full-time salary. And so now you hear like the argument from my opponent is, gee, the charter says it's a full-time job, my opponent says. And then she says, because it's a full-time job, it should pay a full-time salary. So fine, so be it. Then let's reduce the thing to minimum wage.
Gotcha.
And get the salary down to what it should be. And so that's a two-step process. So that's the history. That's how it began. It was in 1983. It's been 30 years. The way it gets fixed is with each term, the council has the opportunity to set the salary. And that's coming up very quickly. And so this is no joke. This has to happen soon. The council needs to vote on what the new salary level is. I'm recommending $25,000, down from $116,000. That's a 90,000.
I'd probably second that. I couldn't second. I'm a mayor. But, you know, the purpose of this conversation isn't to denigrate the former treasurers or Ernie or anybody else that's been on duty. That's the job they assumed and they ran for. And, you know, I don't even know. You know, like you said, you know more of the treasurer, what they do, than I've paid attention to over my course on the council. But they're all good people that have done this job, and now you're just trying to change it now. So if we go into the future, we're not paying this much money, and people coming in after you would know that's the ground rules, correct?
Correct. Well, look, I don't mean to denigrate, but I am speaking about what's been going on. I'm talking about fiscal responsibility. You asked me why I wanted to run. This bothers me. Why an office that should be the most fiscally responsible in the city can cause the residents to have to pay $160,000 for a special election is, I think it's irresponsible.
It's stupid. Yeah, it's really a waste of money how this all came to play.
Yeah.
But it is. We can't go back. What happened, happened, and now we get past this. We have talked about these elections, and I've even brought up the fact that the way our charter reads, we have to have runoffs in all these, every race, my race, council races. You were fortunate to never have a runoff. I had to have one the first time I ran for council and then one for mayor. And that's expensive in and of itself, where if you're in Torrance, I'll use them for an example. If you win, you win. You might only have 35% of the vote, but you're the mayor or you're the council member. And I think it saves a lot of money. I would like to see our charter changed sometime. In my mind, I know there's a lot of opposing opinions, but it should be vetted out someday. Yeah. It's awful expensive to run these things.
It's expensive to run, and it's expensive for the city to have to run. But, you know, I've been saying that all along. You know, I learned a lot while I spent my 8 years on the city council, and, you know, you've heard me say it's the price of democracy.
Mm-hmm.
I used to say the city should run more like a business, and in some ways, yes. But a business can keep its cards close to the vest, and the city cannot. The city is public. The city is designed around transparency and public outreach and public service. And it's very expensive to get all that information.
Yeah, one of the more frustrating things I had as a council member was just trying to get a start date for the Esplanade renovation. And if you're running a private business, you would have gone out, got your designs, got it through the process, and then hired a contractor.
Right.
But the cities have to go through all these the machinations, I guess is the word, of just trying to get all the right people involved, and it takes forever. You called it once the speed of democracy.
Right.
It's just the price of the cost of the speed. And it's to be treasurer, all you really have to be is a resident of the city.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
So
you're talking about the actual qualifications.
The qualifications to be a treasurer in Redondo Beach is to be able to fog a mirror and cast your own ballot and be over 21, I'm assuming, or over 18. So
and a resident for 30 days.
So
that's it. And you get the keys to our $65 million portfolio.
So you have, I think you far exceeded those qualifications. You have your doctorate, right?
Yeah. I took just to run this election, took a little break, but I'm done with all the school class work. But my doctor, it's a business degree I'm working on, and that's actually to teach finance to see how to every employee in a business and see if that knowledge will help the business perform better. So, you know, a lot of people know their task, but they don't understand the relationship between their task and the overall performance of the business. And so, I'm working on that. I have a business education, I have a business in town, I'm a CFO. But the irony is, from a charter perspective, doesn't matter. I only need to be a resident 30 days. And so to say that I far exceed the qualifications to be treasurer, I do, because I lived here for 25 years.
That's right. That's all you need to do. Fog a mirror, live here 25 years, 3 months or 30 days.
Uh-huh.
That's it. That's amazing how our forefathers or mothers, whoever it was, thought of that, because you think you'd have to have some kind of real qualifications. You almost have 3 degrees more than me, which means I have none. I have a high school. And I basically, you know, killed some time in junior college at Santa Monica, but I technically could be the treasurer.
Sure.
And I think I'm going to pat myself on the back. I think I have been an effective councilman and hope to be an effective mayor, but I don't think I'd be a very good treasurer just because I don't have the numbers skill to sit there and do that every day. And you're obviously trained in that. You run a big business. How many people work for you?
I haven't counted in the last few weeks, but I've got usually somewhere around 50. I've peaked at about almost 60. I could be somewhere around 45 right now.
Well, it's a nice problem to have. You can't lose count of all your employees. That means you're a big company.
Well, I have good staff. I mean, that's the point. I don't have to manage every detail of the business. So, the business has been around for quite a while. I have outstanding staff, and we do a good job. There are always challenges, always challenges in a business. But if it were easy, then everybody'd be doing it. So
I know, that's true.
Yeah.
That's what I told people about my insurance business. If you think what my job's so easy, or what I do is I take off a lot of time or I dress in shorts, you try it.
Yeah.
You know, I said, it's not that easy. It looks easy sometimes, but I think the people that are qualified to do a job make it look easy. And the ones that struggle are the ones that just struggle with everything else in life. But you don't think that, well, here's a question I thought of the other night. What if there was an exact tie on this race? Eleanor counts the mail-in ballots, and there are 2,000 to 2,000. What's our next step? We appoint somebody? I know.
Happening. You know, that crossed my mind, and I just said, forget it. I hope it's not that close.
I know.
You know, I'm trying to get the word out there that this is something that really needs reform. There's a huge difference between my opponent and me and what her agenda is and what mine is. And, you know, if it's close, I guess I would be a little disappointed that I'm somehow not communicating the need to get this done. But if I am communicating the need to get this done and people reject it, then so be it. You know, then they want something other than what I'm trying to get done. But I don't know. Technically, if it were a tie out and out, I don't know.
That's one of those questions that will never be answered, but I just popped in my feeble mind.
Yeah.
But the advice I have about winning a close election, because mine turned out to be close, and I know there's feelings going around town sometimes. You only won by 149 votes. But my attitude on it is, if you kick a field goal in overtime in the Super Bowl, you still won.
And right. I mean, and right.
You win by one, you win. Right. And people, I remember Measure A, well, it almost won. Well, it doesn't almost doesn't count in our business. It either win or you lose. There's no less one for the good guy.
Well, let me float this. If it's close, we'll have a problem because this is the first time the city's run a contested vote-by-mail election. And I can tell you, it's already a little bit goofy out there. I know at least one deceased person who's received a ballot. I know one divorced man who never resided at the current resident. He's actually moved to New York, who got a ballot at his ex-wife's house, and he never ever lived at that address. I know one woman who got two ballots, one with and one without her middle name. I know a household where the husband got a ballot and the wife didn't. I know, you know, you've thought that people have been getting their ballots for 2 weeks. There's some people that haven't gotten any at all. So if it's close, I just hope that there's a very clear, one way or the other, ideally for me.
I agree.
I hope that there's a very clear winner.
Well, when we had to have, remember the extra week when I ran?
Yeah, right.
Because it was 149 votes, and they have to count and verify signatures.
Yeah.
And I always wondered, you know, if you came down to 10, how many of those mail-ins were dead people?
Yeah.
Or mom signed for the son that's away at college, or something like that. So, yeah, it's you don't want to be close. But I personally think that I like to hang out with winners. I think you're gonna win going away. We'll take a break and come back to talk to Steve some more.
Hello, Professor Burke here from the University of Farmers. We're looking for a few mavericks to join our elite group of finely tuned insurance agents. You'll learn insurance at our highly acclaimed training facility, and you'll acquire the mental dexterity of a chess master. So, unless you're fond of your current job, which may or may not consist of shuffling papers, staring at clocks, or counting dust specks, you might want to get serious about considering agenthood. As a new Farmers agent, you'll leave our university equipped with what it takes to run your own business, not to mention the more than 80 years of Farmers insurance experience you'll have in your back pocket. Yeah, you could spend all your time at work staring at your computer like a stunned trout, but if you want a new career, a new life, and possibly a boat, come and pay us a visit.
We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Your Farmers insurance needs in Los Angeles, contact Don Lee. Farmers Insurance District number 59 at 310-297-2050, extension 202. Or visit farmersagent.com/D-Lee.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
Welcome back to HealthyLife.net, and this is Steve Aspel, Aspel on the Esplanade. And I'm not doing the normal radio show of just huggy-feely, interesting people. I actually have a huggy-feely guy right here, but we're talking a little more about the issues of Redondo and the Steve deals and about the Treasurer's race. And I understand we have a call-in, actually. I like to call him Young Julian Stern, a former candidate for council. Welcome, Julian. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So, what do you have for us here? You're listening on the internet. You actually bought a computer?
Well, my mom put it up for me on her computer.
Oh, okay.
But I called in to just voice my support for Mr. Deals and what he's doing, and say that we're going to have a good treasurer coming up pretty soon.
You have any questions for Steve? Like, we got him on live, man.
Yeah,
you better ask him.
Why has my ballot still not come yet?
Yeah, that's a concern. Are you a registered voter?
Certainly am.
Well, he's barely old enough, but...
Yeah. You know, Julian, I got mine last night. My mail comes fairly late, and I know that there are others that hadn't received theirs citywide. You know, I send out my mailer, and it says, you know, we try to time these things so that they land when the ballots land, and it says vote today. And so I've got people calling me and say, how come this is vote today? How do I vote? What do I do? Write it on a piece of paper and take it to the clerk's office? So, you know, keep an eye on it. I'm a little concerned. You know, I want to make sure everybody gets a ballot. But you do raise an important issue that if you don't get a ballot, what what next? I think that's going to require a personal visit to the clerk's office to actually get a ballot. And I don't know what the clerk's going to ask to verify if you're a registered voter or not. I really don't know. It's probably something I should start looking into because these questions are coming up.
And you know what's scary, Julian, is that since you've been heavily involved for the last year and ran for office yourself, you're aware of the election and that you didn't get a ballot. But I would suspect that a lot of your neighbors who didn't get a ballot aren't even aware there's an election. What do you think?
I don't know, and I'm just worried that the postman didn't see my Steve Deal sign, and maybe he's a Esther supporter or something, just looking
at another podcast, you know? Well, we'll inquire with the federal government, but that's probably not the case. But
uh-huh.
I wonder. Yeah, we were worried that the biggest winner in this election could be Athens Trash Service, because a lot of these will go in the trash, whether by an accident or by oversight.
Yeah, people just got to realize that they seem to vote in presidential elections, but they don't realize that change is going to happen at a local level, and that if they want something done, they got to vote in these municipal elections.
That's
right. Especially with a platform like Steve Deal's, when you got a lot of money to be saved for the city, they're going to have better services for them. They ought to vote, and it's so easy.
So that's an official endorsement for Steve-O, huh?
It's an official endorsement.
There you go. Live.
It's an official endorsement. And also, I've been hearing a lot of this talk about how he doesn't have enough experience as a business, as being a business owner and a CFO of his own business. I was just telling him yesterday, the city runs just like a business, and it should be run like a business. It has customers who are the residents, and it has income and expenses. And why isn't that enough experience?
Well,
the practical experience to be treasurer.
Yeah, Julian, the experience argument is funny. We did touch on this earlier because the qualifications in the charter don't require anything, literally.
Mm-hmm.
I did make the point earlier that we are somewhat different than a business, too, because of all the transparency requirements that you have as a public entity. So the irony is that I do have experience in both municipal government and private business, and I think those are the two elements that really can come together to provide the best service in the job treasurer overall. You know, I'm trying to reduce costs, but not only reduce costs, it actually increased the service. I know my opponent wrote, I think even in her ballot statement, and it says that she might look for ways to cut treasurer duties in order to save money. I don't see that at all. I mean, I see opportunities for the treasurer to increase oversight to prevent situations like Bell in the future, even though we just got accolades from our actual investigation by the grand jury of mm-hmm. our city, among others. You know, corruption is not an issue in Redondo, but it could be going forward, and so the treasurer has that opportunity. I don't see any reason to cut treasurer duties. What I see is an opportunity to provide even more services, but do it for less cost, and that's what my business experience brings to the table.
That sounds good to me.
Julian,
and I got to tell you too, what I like too is you don't puff up your resume. Everything's true on your resume. You've done all of it. You know, some people are saying they're an international financial expert. Well, what I say is I could go to Tijuana, cash a check, and call myself an international financial expert. You know?
Oh, where do you come up with this stuff, Julian? That's so funny.
But, I got to go start knocking on some doors for you, so I'm going to let you go.
You better get out there. In fact, you know, you could technically be treasurer right now because you've lived here more than 30 days. You're over 18.
Yeah, Julian.
And, yeah, and you actually, I think you have more of an education than I do. Where'd you go to high school again?
The Betsy Ross High School.
Betsy Ross, there you go. All right, well, Julian, hey, thanks for calling in and listening.
Right.
I appreciate that,
later.
Man. All right.
Bye-bye.
That's pretty cool. Oh, you like that? We get a call in from Julian. Have you ever sat down and want to have some fun? He's a great guy. And, man, I see him being a force in Redondo in the upcoming years. So you're going to be the treasurer. Now, let's say we come up and the council doesn't vote to lower the salary. How would you... I don't see the council not following through on that if you requested it as treasurer. But if they didn't, then what would be plan B since you're running on this?
Well, look, there's no way that the cost of this is justified. I mean, if it came to changing, I mean, having a ballot initiative to do that, perhaps, but I just don't think it's necessary. I mean, I can bring to the council an overwhelming case that demonstrates that the salary is completely unwarranted. And if the council doesn't go for it, I mean, I don't know what to say.
I don't think I'm just speaking yeah. out loud.
Well, I mean, I can't. Yeah. There are no guarantees, but I do know that I have the council members behind me. So I suppose they support my position because they've given me verbal support. But you know, that's not to say that they've made a decision already, because they can't. I mean, that's something off into the future. They don't know exactly what's coming. Although I've been pretty open now about what I think the number is at 25,000. What we can't do, because of the charter requirement that it be a full-time job, is reduce the salary below minimum wage full-time.
There you go.
And that's the bottom level that that we can reduce it to. Then I suspect that we just need to pad it a little bit, just in case the state legislature makes some changes to minimum wage requirements. So that's really where I came up with the 25,000. You know, I put in thousands of hours for $900 a month as a council member.
It's the most expensive job we ever had, yep. Another one of your quotes.
Yep. And so I know it can be done, and I've done it. And yet the treasurer, you know, takes home $10,000 practically a month. $10,000 a month.
Plus a car and a car allowance.
Well, that includes all that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the total cash thing. But plus, not the car allowance, but plus the retirement and health benefits, which are substantial. That's another $25,000 in benefits.
There you go. Well, we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk to Steve Deal some more.
The right dentist in your area at the right price. The search for affordable dental care for you and your loved ones can be difficult and stressful, but not anymore. It doesn't have to be with 1-800-DENTIST.com, a site where you can see reviews, services, payment options, and more. For thousands of pre-screened dentists across the U.S., 1-800-DENTIST.com is really your free local dentist directory. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click the 1-800-DENTIST.com banner.
I love food, and I love to eat. The cooking and cleaning part, not so much. And then I found a link to the chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page, and I was happy to find all sorts of amazing recipes and tips on cooking, in addition to great chef-quality kitchen equipment and savings as well. Now I look forward to my time in the kitchen thanks to Chef's Catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Hello, Professor Burke here from the University of Farmers. We're looking for a few mavericks to join our elite group of finely tuned insurance agents. You'll learn insurance at our highly acclaimed training facility, and you'll acquire the mental dexterity of a chess master. So, unless you're fond of your current job, which may or may not consist of shuffling papers, staring at clocks, or counting dust specks, you might want to get serious about considering agenthood. As a new farmer's agent, you'll leave our university equipped with what it takes to run your own business, not to mention the more than 80 years of farmer's insurance experience you'll have in your back pocket. Yeah, you can spend all your time at work staring at your computer like a stunned trout, but if you want a new career, a new life, and possibly a boat, come and pay us a visit.
We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Your farmer's insurance needs in Los Angeles, contact Don Lee. Farmers Insurance District number 59 at 310-297-2050, extension 202. Or visit farmersagent.com/D-Lee. HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to HealthyLife.net. This is Steve Aspel, and we're on Healthy Life, and this is Aspel on the Esplanade. And a little side note on this thing is, I know a lot of people are listening because we put it on Facebook, and this is, we let the word go around town. And I'm not sitting here being a total shill for Steve Deals, for one thing, because Steve will be the first to admit that when we were in the council, he was 3 or 4 months longer than me because I had a runoff. But we went toe-to-toe in a few things and had some pretty spirited arguments, so we didn't agree on everything up there. And we just even had some disagreements in the last election. But I'm supporting Steve now, and the cool thing about being on the council is you want to have spirited discussion. You don't want to have unanimous votes all the time. And, Steve, you were one of the people I respect the most on the council. And we did go at it once or twice. And you still, in my mind, are one of the most effective council members we ever had. So anybody out there listening, it's not like here we're sitting here swapping spit and we agreed the whole time. So anyway, we had a call in from a person that didn't want to go on live and didn't want to use her name, but she hears. We have South Bay Jay Cruz, our director, program director, and man about town. He's going to interpret for me.
Kind of translate. She mainly had a question. She says she's been following Steve Deal's campaign and is aware of the plan to reduce the treasurer salary, but she had been campaigned by the other side, and as they were knocking on doors, they had mentioned in the information they gave her that your plan is to reduce salary for the non-treasurer positions on the city staff. And they had a question about that, and they asked the campaigner, and the people from that camp didn't give an answer other than just, that's what we hear type of thing. So that was her question. She's concerned about that.
We're used to those kind of answers in that campaign. Go ahead, Steve.
You know, it's fun to be a critical thinker and ask critical questions when people make statements like that, because sometimes they just can't back it up. You can just ask one question and they fall apart. Sometimes they can back it up, maybe one or two questions. But if you can ask two or three questions deep and they still can cite their source and know what they're talking about, then there might be something there. The irony behind the statement that I want to cut city staff salary and keep the treasurer's salary whole is that is literally my opponent's campaign. If you read her ballot statement, it flat out says she wants to keep full-time treasurer's salary for herself and justify that by reducing city staff. So that is literally on your ballot, in the envelope that showed up with your ballot. I mean, read it. My position has been to reduce bureaucratic overhead and waste in this office so we can spend more money on critical core services for the city. And that could be anything. It could be public safety. It could be senior services. And if that means higher salaries for employees, so be it. I don't have spending authority anymore. I am no longer on the council. That becomes the council's prerogative. When I'm on the treasurer, they will have additional money to spend by virtue of the fact that I'll be reducing costs. No way have I ever said I want to reduce somebody else's salary, either to for me to keep the treasurer's salary or for me to reduce it and reduce somebody else. I've never said that, but my opponent has. And so that's the irony, and I've seen that from that side quite a bit, quite extensively, frankly, is the amount of projection that they engage in. And so if they accuse me of something, it's usually they that are doing it. And that is literally the case in this case. If you read my opponent's ballot statement, that's what it says. So just to put an end to that rumor, I also am aware, yes, somebody's been going door to door, literally seeking out people who have deal signs up and telling them what a rotten scallywag I am. But anyway, my phone number is on all my campaign material. In fact, I'll say it right now. I'll give you my phone number. You got any questions, call me directly. It's 310-318-5589, and that goes straight to my cell phone. So if I've got it with me and I'm not on a radio program or on and not on another phone call, I will answer it directly, and I can answer questions like that or any other. And you can drill down as many times as you want, and I should be able to back it up. And if I can't back it up, I'll look it up. And again, my phone number is 310-318-5589.
A rotten scallywag. I like that. That's kind of tame, though.
Because that is tame compared to what...
you and I have been called way worse than that the most recent election. Never from my opponent. He's always great. Matt was really cool about it. The same people that were competing against you right now call me worse than that, but... Remember, if you win by one or win by a million, you still won. and rotten scallywag. I've heard that word since I was a kid. I have to remember that for my wife so I don't say a bad word. So, boy, you've got to give me some more stuff here. I've never done a factual interview here. I've only been like a hometown guy here talking to people. So what does your wife think about you actually running and spending this much time? I think I know the answer to this, but you're spending a pile full of time. So
She's been extraordinarily supportive, she's doing great with this. When the mayoral opportunity sort of came up, I mean, I knew way in advance I did not want to run for the mayor's office. And I actually 2 years ago sort of evaluated it. And but I knew that this treasurer office needed to get fixed. And we thought it was going to come up in 2015 because that was the end of the term for Ernie O'Dell, who was the treasurer at the time. And then just surprise, life is what happens when you're planning something else, right? Ernie's deputy announces his retirement, and so Ernie follows suit, and here we are in a runoff election. So she's been incredibly supportive, I really appreciate that. It's tense, though. I mean, for anybody that hasn't gone through this, it's hard. It's hard in the household. Elections are full of highs and lows, and one day you think everything's going great, and another day it doesn't seem so great. And I've been telling people too that there's an interesting way I protect myself, because this all politics is personal, and people levy personal attacks.
Mm-hmm,
and
they do.
So I am running on a platform, and I protect myself that way, and that if people don't like the platform, then they won't vote for me, but I'm not going to take it personally. If somehow I don't get elected, because then I tell myself anyway.
Well, you're going to feel pretty pissed off.
Yeah,
that's probably the main reason. I'm glad you brought that up. The main reason I'm supporting you is among many reasons because of the issues I've had in the past with the opponent side, You never retaliate. And when I was running for mayor, my wife and children had to experience some of the BS people were sending out that you make it up, they pull it right out of their rear end and start making things up. And once it's on in print, it's a fact. And it does take a toll. Your family reads it. Well, Luke is only, what, two? Three?
Yeah.
He can't read yet. Well, knowing Luke, he probably can. I've seen him. But, you've never thrown any dirt back at people. I never threw anything back at anybody. And I get to sleep better at night. And that makes you probably, means you're going to win. Because the karma thing comes back and bites people sometimes.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned my son. He knows this platform.
I heard him.
Yeah. Yeah, he knows it. He gets it. He says, look, we're paying too much. We need to reduce the salary down to the level of other cities. I mean, a four-year-old gets this.
Well, he's been knocking on doors with you. I saw you yesterday, taking the poor kid down Avenue D, dragging him by his toes. But he's heard you say it 1,000 times, so he can say it now. Well, we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk to Steve Deal some more.
Professor Burke here from the University of Farmers. We're looking for a few mavericks to join our elite group of finely tuned insurance agents. You'll learn insurance at our highly acclaimed training facility, and you'll acquire the mental dexterity of a chess master. So, unless you're fond of your current job, which may or may not consist of shuffling papers, staring at clocks, or counting dust specks, you might want to get serious about considering agenthood. As a new Farmers agent, you'll leave our university equipped with what it takes to run your own business, not to mention the more than 80 years of Farmers insurance experience you'll have in your back pocket. Yeah, you could spend all your time at work staring at your computer like a stunned trout, but if you want a new career, a new life, and possibly a boat, come and pay us a visit.
We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
your farmer's insurance needs in Los Angeles, contact Don Lee. Farmer's Insurance District number 59 at 310-297-2050, extension 202. Or visit farmersagent.com/D-Lee.
If you like to spend your television viewing time learning about some of the things that you may have missed in history class, or if history was your favorite subject, then you should check out the link to the History Channel on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. Order DVD sets by series or by subject matter right from our homepage while you still enjoy your favorite HealthyLife.net show.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Welcome back to HealthyLife.net. This is Steve Aspel sitting here with Steve Deals. And for those of you that think I've turned this into a political show, well, it's not going to happen. We'll go back to our regular, kinder, gentler show pretty soon, because it's actually easier to do an interview when you're just sitting there talking about somebody's book or their guitar playing, or the fact that Kirk Gibson beat the Dodgers in 1988 and Jay Cruz hates it. But, but this is an important issue because, Steve, we were talking during the break, and so I'll run by two words with you, and you can answer them. There's activism and there's obstructionism. So give me your take on those.
Yeah, I consider myself an activist. An activist is somebody who's active and gets things done. And so I ran for city council, and I've raised money for parks and. Been involved with the city and school district, and I mean, activism is someone I term it as involvement. You're mm-hmm. active. People confuse obstructionism with activism, and there's quite a culture of obstructionism along those lines that's been around in this community, and frankly, revolving around the power plant. And the reason that's pertinent to the treasurer's race is that there was an email circulated after Measure A lost about what Plan B was. So with the loss of Measure A, there was Plan B. And Plan B involved getting my opponent elected in the treasurer's office so that this group could continue with their obstructionism. And the problem with that is I don't think that group is too educated on the history of Redondo Beach with regard to the treasurer's office, because we did have an obstructionist treasurer at one point who decided that they wanted to manipulate city policy using the treasurer's office, and that went to state court, and mm-hmm. the treasurer lost. And it's been decided you cannot set policy as the treasurer. You do not have spending authority. Your job is to manage the treasury, and that's really it in a responsible way. As a matter of fact, the mission of the treasurer is to deliver the highest quality municipal treasury services at the lowest cost. It has nothing to do with what I call the golden rule, which is he who has the gold makes the rules. It doesn't work that way.
Not in our city.
No. It's he who gets elected to the city council and gets three votes on the council and doesn't get vetoed by
that's right.
The mayor makes the rules.
Yeah, the treasurer, well, I saw Ernie, and there's a friend of mine. He's a great guy. I would see him in the hallway and stuff and chat, but I never would ask his opinion on a lot. You know, I'd ask him about streets or things like that because he's a constituent, but as far as policy in the city, he actually knew the position that it wasn't a policymaker. And I respected him for that. And one of the things that I think your opponents, I don't know about your opponent as much as the group that supports her, is they think that getting into the treasurer's office is a foothold into some good old boys club. And if she was fortunate enough for her to win, she'd find out that that's not the case. And there's no real clout in the city as far as from the treasurer's office.
Look, our treasurer's office is broken and needs reform, regardless of who gets elected.
Mm-hmm.
And I am calling for the treasurer's salary to be reduced to a level commensurate with not only the duties of the position, but best practices that we see demonstrated up and down the state by other cities. So that ultimately becomes the decision of the city council, and it would be nice that you can make that decision without objections from the treasurer. So I would bring to the council my recommendations, but should I not win, I still make these recommendations.
You're still going to make your, well, I think it's a great idea, and I think we're going to pursue that as long in the next 4 years anyway, win or lose on the deals camp. But the and I think that any future treasurer would know that it's no different of a job than a city council member or a mayor, that you're doing it for a love of city, a really, really fun hobby, and just a way to stay involved in your community, but you're not going to make any money on it.
That recognition just came about in the city of Hermosa Beach, who's one of the cities on my graph. I've been using their example as something closer to what our salary should be. Theirs is $28,000, ours is $116,000 plus benefits. They just reduced theirs now down to $12,000 or something closer to whatever their... So now they're on par with what Manhattan Beach is. Now, Manhattan Beach...
$12,540 a year?
And they manage a $60 million portfolio.
Right.
Ours is $65 million. Those are on par with each other,
mm-hmm.
Okay? We're paying too much money to manage our money, folks. When you actually add the cost of operating our treasurer's office to the dismal returns that we've been getting, not by fault of the treasurer, but the fault of the marketplace, external factors... we're actually underwater. It's costing us more money to run the treasurer's office than we're earning in interest revenue, which means we're paying the city treasurer's salary now with your hard-earned tax dollars, and that's just got to stop.
Got to stop, one way or the other. So on that note, I want to ask you, you're wearing a hat, and you had something, the Wounded Warriors of America, you had a bike-a-thon or something. I was out of town.
Okay.
So tell me about that. It looked very interesting.
This was absolutely phenomenal. And by the way, I know you would have been there, could you have been, because you were there for some of the other charity work that goes on in this town. But there's a group, a local group run out of Hawthorne called Wounded Heroes of America, and it's often confused with Wounded Warriors. But
okay.
This is a group that raises money for... are returning veterans who've been wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan, and there are quite a few. And so we arranged a bike ride, and there's a whole healing process that involves integrating these soldiers back into the community. And a lot of them have had some very painful injuries, have lost limbs, have had burns, lost their vision. Some have lost their mental health to some capacity, so they've got brain injuries. And we had 50 or so of these guys come out with, and men and women, I'm sorry, I say guys, I shouldn't say that, men and women, come out with their families, with their kids, and joined up with the cycling community. And we met at the Veterans Memorial,
mm-hmm.
took this phenomenal photo that we circulated on Facebook, and went for a bike ride. And some people went 30 miles, some people went 5. And all we did was just enjoy the beach community and integrated our cycling community in such a fun and healthy way with these veterans, and it was phenomenal. And by the way, so this is Wounded Heroes of America,
mm-hmm.
and you can find them online, and if you want to donate, please do, or if you want to buy fireworks, maybe not for Redondo Beach.
Yeah, don't come over here.
But you can right by Carl's Jr. on Los Grandes.
So you didn't just do this because you're running for mayor. You've been an avid cyclist for a long, long time. You even wear the little funny outfit.
Yeah, I've got that.
You're a real cyclist. You're not just a beach cruiser.
Well, I was. Look, I'm fat and out of shape since I did my council duties, and I'm looking forward to getting back into shape, I'll tell you that.
But you've been... I'm just trying to give you a pat on the back. This wasn't something... it wasn't a campaign win.
No, the Wounded Heroes. I've
been
working with them for over a year,
mm-hmm.
and a half now. So, I don't know. Yeah, people accuse me of all kinds of stuff. It's just bizarre. But
anybody that wants to run for office should need to get their head examined, for one thing, because... you got to be a little tweaked to want to run, win or lose. I've had respect for almost everybody that I've known to run for any office, but you dangle all your personal artifacts out there for everybody to
see. Yeah, you do. It's very public.
Your peccadillos, and they make things up.
And
it takes a lot of courage to run, and you certainly have. You've done it. You've proved it twice before. So we're going to take a break and come back and close this baby out.
the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to Bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Cooking with Sunflare solar ovens makes food taste great. The Sunflare solar oven uses the sun and never needs wood, charcoal, gas, or electricity, which means no carcinogenic residue. It's so portable and lightweight that you can take it anywhere. Cook the most delicious foods you've ever tasted. It's perfect for your emergency kit, too. Visit sunflare.net. That's S-U-N-F-L-A-I-R.net for the best gift ever. Act fast. Call 855-786-3524. That's 855-786-3524.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors, and their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now, it even gets better than that, because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com, and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to HealthyLife.net. I've spent the last 57, 58 minutes sitting here with Treasurer candidate, the Honorable Steve Deals. Well, thanks for being here.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Hopefully listeners found it interesting. I don't know how interesting listening to talk about Treasurer is, but...
We're having fun, but...
Yeah.
It's actually difficult. It's not. I guess it's not much fun because I've never done this before, and I'm sure I might get a few calls or emails about the mayor taking sides like this. But you know, I have to support you 1,000,000%, and I know that you will be whatever the treasurer works out to be, whatever that office works out to be. You'll be just as effective there as you were as a council member, and. And I hope you and your wife and your wife's Elizabeth and Luke make it through this in the next, when's the election day?
The vote count day. Is the 23rd
of
July.
We make it through 23rd. Now, quickly, if somebody has it in their hand and they want to drop it off at City Hall, they can.
They can on that day, but my recommendation is please mark it Steve Deals and mail it today.
I understand, but if somebody wakes up at the last minute because these podcasts people listen to, 3 weeks from now.
Oh, okay.
So I want to make sure if you're listening to this, and it's a week to go before the election, do not mail it. Take it in.
Okay.
As long as you're voting for Steve. If you're not voting for Steve, then mail it. It's okay. All right, everybody. I got to go and put a suit on and go to the city council meeting. Believe it or not, I'm wearing a suit tonight. So you everybody have a great week, and we will talk to you next week.